What up, what up, what up? It's Burge. I'm back with BTP episode 30. I apologize for my absence last week. Hogan, my lovely co-host, is here. Big time props for stepping up in my absence last week with the solo show for the first time on this podcast. Love it. Amped to be back recording. Hogan, how you doing today, brother?
I'm good, buddy. I'm good. I'm glad. I'm beyond ecstatic that you're back, though. That's the big thing. We needed you back. I wanted you back. As much as I love fighting with you and calling you an idiot, it was lonely last week, but it was a good time. We got through it, and by we, I mean me. But yeah, it was interesting considering the fact that I think I might have made some enemies with some of my hot takes last week in regards to my thoughts on Trevor Lawrence and Jacksonville. If you want to give a quick shout out for our socials, obviously, because that's where the business was happening.
Absolutely. Well, as always, you know, you can follow us on Twitter. We're at BTP underscore podcast underscore. We're also on YouTube. We have our YouTube channel up with a bunch of shorts up there. We're going to be posting the episodes there shortly as well at BTP podcast. Be sure to check out that. But the one where you had the beef last week, and I was like kind of stunned as I'm watching this happen. I'm like, why are people, you really have Jacksonville Jaguars fans listening to this podcast? But that was on our Instagram page at BTP underscore podcast. Give us a follow, shout us out. Let us know if you got any questions, any beefs. You certainly did last week with Hogan. But yeah, be sure to get us on there.
Come at me, Jacksonville.
You want to talk about it? Let's go.
Let's go. Fuck Trevor Lawrence. I'll say it again. I don't care. Come at me. Get all 10 of their fans to come and harass me. I don't give a shit.
I got to say, I was a little taken aback that one of the guys comments, I forget his handle. I wish I had it handy. I'd shout him out. But taking Trevor Lawrence over every QB not named Mahomes or Burrow was kind of laughable to me.
I wanted to, oh my God. I honestly, if I had the energy and the strength to fight that clown, and I'm just going to go in on this. I don't give a shit who it was, what his name was, whatever. I'm going at him. To say that Trevor Lawrence is the third best quarterback in the NFL currently just because he's 24 and that he's been okay, like, oh yeah, I'll take him above anybody not named Mahomes and Burrow. Dude, you're a clown. You're going to sit there and tell me as a poverty franchise, you don't want a Josh Allen. You don't want a Lamar Jackson. Hell, I would take a 40-year-old fucking Aaron Rodgers before I would go with Trevor Lawrence leading my team. And that's with him tearing his Achilles last year. So, dude, don't talk to me. Don't talk to me with your poverty franchise and your Trevor Lawrence hot takes. Just get out of here. I'm done with you. Let's move on.
That was at Tyler Tinsley 44 on Instagram. I got to shout him out on the podcast. I came in, I'm like, I would have taken CJ Stroud over to Trevor Lawrence right now. Like, there's a handful of guys that I'm like, I would take before Trevor Lawrence, because Trevor Lawrence, like you said, has not lived up to the hype of that number one overall pick, where he was a number one overall pick when he was a freshman in college.
And I'm being a troll. Let's be honest. Like, I really don't hate Trevor Lawrence that much. The fact is, I brought up the point that every analyst had when he first was coming out. Like you said, as a freshman, he was being touted as the next Peyton Manning, the next Andrew Luck, the next, you know, all these guys that were supposed to be a once in a generation player that was going to make everything wonderful. And Trevor Lawrence has not, and what, he's been in the league three or four years, and granted, the first year was with, you know, the clown there, that that coach Urban Meyer that got fired halfway through. But it's just, I'm not going to sit there and pick him. Like I said last week, if you pull a bunch of fans, they're not going to take him as their starting quarterback, especially not third in the league at this point. And for those of you wondering right now, we are recording this while the Bruins are playing, so you'll have to excuse my co-host Burge because the Bruins just got scored on.
That was my whole video reaction right there. I happen to go back to the stream and I look and it says Panthers goal. I'm like, come on.
Yeah. So it's going to be a little tough tonight. There might be a few screams and yells and interactions that you're not prepared for. Just know it's the boss inside of us. We gotta do what we gotta do when we're supporting our other teams, not named the Patriots. So it happens.
We are multi-sport fans here on the Break in the Plate podcast, and the Bruins are facing elimination tonight, which is why I am multitasking right now. As most of our listeners probably know, I'm a host on Two Pad Stack podcast, which is a Bruins podcast. So I'm very deep into both of the sports. But yeah, I mean, great interaction on that, on that, that video clip with the, with the Jacksonville Jaguars fans. Love it. Keep it coming. I got a good friend who's a Jacksonville Jaguars fan, doesn't like when I try to troll him on Twitter. So John, if you're listening,
bring
you
it.
You got beef here.
Bring it. I'll take it all day long. But it, hey, speaking of the Bruins though, I mean, yeah, granted they're down 3-1. But the rest of the NHL playoffs, anything catching your eye there, Burge? I mean, like I said last week, I brought up a couple of the cross sports stuff. Is there, obviously, if the Bruins pull off the miracle and get through this series, I know we got, what is it, New York and Carolina that's playing the other games right now? You like either one of them?
I don't personally like either one of their teams. I hate them. I hate their fans. But put it this way, I think the Bruins are on borrowed time, are on like house money time right now. I didn't expect them to get into the second round, let alone, you know, I mean, they won the first game of the series and it's been kind of poop ever since. But the one thing that stands out to me, and I've never wanted to criticize the officials in hockey. I do it in NFL all the time because they're a bunch of bozos and the NFL doesn't care. The NHL, the NHL is not big enough to not care about their officials. They are the fourth most followed, you know, professional sport in North America. And there's a reason for that. The officiating in this playoffs across all series has been absolutely atrocious. Yeah. And it's not the reason the Bruins are down 3-1. I'm not going to blame them for the reason, but like some of these calls, dude, that they're calling ticky tack, where playoff hockey, you probably watched it back in the day, like, you know, 10, 20 years ago when they'd let a lot of the ticky tack stuff go. They're calling all of it now and they are wildly inconsistent with it. And that part for me just absolutely grinds my gears. There was a play in the last game for the Bruins. You know which one I'm talking about, the goalie interference that should have been a goalie interference by the black and white rule in the rule book, and it was not called that way, and it cost the Bruins to turtle and spiral after that.
Yeah,
they should have had more fight after that had happened, but you know, it is what it is at this point.
It's tough because Florida's already a good team. You don't need to give them any more motivation or cause to win games, and it certainly doesn't help when you got one of your best players, Marchand, has been injured the last couple games, hasn't been able to
sucker punch
games. I don't know. I'll be the first to admit I'm not the biggest hockey guy on the planet. I definitely enjoy it and watch it, but it's tough to see stuff that seems, you know, you listen across the scope of everybody that watches hockey, and you got even people that aren't Bruins fans coming out saying like they're getting screwed in this series like real bad. So we're sitting here hoping and keeping our fingers crossed, and you know, maybe they'll pull themselves out. You never know. There's still time left, so we're just keep hoping and praying. But on the other side of that, I know you're not a basketball guy, but we got the Celtics rocking and rolling. So if there's one Boston team we can hang our hat on, we got them right now. They're up 3-1 on Cleveland, with about to hopefully punch their ticket to the Eastern Conference Finals, which would be, what, the like 10th year in a row they've gone to that thing, I think. So we'll see.
I don't follow basketball at all. Like, I follow like the scores in the playoffs, and that is about the extent of my basketball intake. From what everything I've heard around this team and everything that has been talked about, if they don't make the finals, it's a failure of the season. It's a massive underachievement. So the fact that they're rolling right now, they're not doing anything impressive. They're doing what everybody expected them to do. So they need to just keep going with that.
Pretty much. I mean, the only thing that I'll add on to that is I'm getting aggravated with them losing game twos at home to inferior teams. Like, that's just stupid. Like, they need to clean that up, especially if they get to the finals, depending on who their opponent's going to be. They need to take care of business. And especially with Porzingis out right now, like, they should come back fully healthy and ready to go. And I don't know. I'm one of those guys that I don't talk shit until the final whistle blows, because I learned my lesson the hard way too many times watching football and getting too excited before it was over. So I wait and see, and I celebrate after the fact. I don't celebrate before.
That's what all sports fans should do across the board.
Oh, I thought you meant no, I shouldn't. I should celebrate early. I was like, no, I learned my lesson in 2007, and we're not going to rehash that because I don't want to talk about that. That's where I learned my ultimate lesson, and it will not happen again.
Well, see, but I'm being a hockey player, being a goalie, I'm a very superstitious person, so I never do any of that. I do not like to speak anything into existence before it happens, because at the end of the day, the worst thing is going to happen if I do it. And, you know, I've had some things happen that we've talked about off air where I had a conversation and something bad happened right after that. And I'm like, dude, I just need to keep my mouth shut. I'm so superstitious when it comes to that. I know me saying it has nothing to do with something actually happening, but in my head, I am one of the most superstitious people you'll ever meet. When I'm playing hockey, I'm putting my skate on the same way. I'm putting my right pad on every time first. I'm putting my equipment on in the exact same order. And now I'm a beer league goalie. Means nothing. I'm there to get an exercise because I'm a fat beer league goalie and I need the exercise. That's the only reason I'm there. But I still do the same thing. I always got to tap both my posts. It's wild. And even when, you know, Patriots were running deep in the playoffs, I would do the same thing. I wouldn't be able to talk. I'd have to follow my superstition because if I didn't, something bad would happen every single time.
So quick, actually fun story. I personally don't consider myself a very superstitious guy. However, was 2014, the year that we beat Seattle in the Super Bowl. That year, I learned very quickly that anytime I watched the Patriots by myself, I was living in my parents' house at the time, but I learned very quickly that anytime I watched the Patriots by myself in my room, they won the game. And I tested.
Why did we go to Smokey Bones? I don't know.
Cause I, for the playoffs, it made me nervous. Cause like, I thought about it afterwards, but like I tested it during the season. Like there was one point where they were playing Miami. I think it was earlier in the year and they were up like 20 points on Miami at halftime. And I left my room and I went to the living room with my parents to watch the second half of the game. And they scored.
Bruins scored.
Nice. Well, quickly to finish my story, I went to the living room to watch the rest of the game with my parents. And they fucking blew the lead at the end there, and they lost. And I was like, okay, well, fate sealed. I have to watch every Patriots game, like, pretty much in my room to guarantee a victory. So I ended up watching the Super Bowl against Seattle in my room, and I was, like, ready to, like, start smashing things in my room when Malcolm Butler let that catch up to Curse towards the end there, that miracle catch he had right before the miracle interception, but... I get it. Superstitious things. You got to do what you got to do and hope for the best. And I mean, screw it. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, you move on, fight for another day and hope for the best. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, what do you say? You want to move off of the hockey talk right now and the football and get into some current football news that came down?
Let's do it to it. What do you got for me, buddy?
One of the surprising teams this year, the Detroit Lions, handed out a massive contract extension to their quarterback. Jared Goff received the bag, a 4-year contract worth $212 million with $170 million guaranteed. Let me ask you this, Hogan. Did you ever expect Jared Goff to make that kind of money in the NFL?
No, just straight off the bat. No, and I don't want this again. this might come off again, and I'm probably gonna piss off some Detroit fans. I almost kind of want to feel the same way about Goff that I do about Trevor Lawrence, but not to the same extent as what I feel about Trevor Lawrence, because I think Goff is more established and actually has performed because he got St. Louis, they were St. Louis at the time, LA now, to the Super Bowl, you know, even though the franchise immediately gave up on him and traded him for Stafford, which if you look back at their stats and everything, like take away the Super Bowl for Stafford and the Rams, they have identical stats since they've been traded to the opposite teams. Like the win percentage, the touchdowns, the turnovers, like I saw it, somebody posted it today and it was like, who won the trade? And it's like, everybody's clearly, you're going to look back in history and say, well, obviously the Rams won the trade because they won the Super Bowl, which, yeah, I'll give them credit for that. But at the same time, if you look at just purely wins and losses statistics for what the quarterbacks have been since the trade, they're copycat versions of themselves right now. Mm-hmm. That being said, does Goff deserve what he got? I can't sit there and justify it because Detroit's realistically had one good season. They had a good deep run into the playoffs this year. I'll give them credit for that. Could they have potentially made the Super Bowl? Absolutely. But is anybody sitting there going, yeah, Jared Goff is the reason they got to where they're at and what they did this year, what they accomplished this year was because of him? I can't see it being that case. I don't know. What do you think about this?
So, real quick disclosure: their Bruins goal is being challenged right now for goalie interference. So my mind's been watching that. But I agree with everything that you said.
Oh boy!
Here I'm getting the ruling right now.
Oh boy!
Good goal. All right. I can. Whoo! Okay.
Breathe, buddy. Breathe.
I would have blown it. This would have turned into a hockey episode if they called that back. I would have blown a gasket. But no, I certainly didn't ever see Jared Goff getting this type of extension ever. I mean, he was so. I want to say he was a disappointment, but like he was a first overall pick, but that quarterback class was pretty weak with him and Carson Wentz at the top. Never really thought much of it when they were drafted. I think it was in 2016, 2017, one of those 2 years that they got drafted. And I got to say, he's been a big surprise with how he's played in Detroit since that trade. When he was traded to Detroit for Stafford, he was a cap throw-in. That was it. Mm-hmm. He was traded because St. Louis needed to offload money to fit Stafford. And Detroit needed a bridge quarterback to be there for them to draft the next guy. And Jared Goff, to his credit, has forced Detroit to rethink what they were originally planning and build around him. And they've put some real nice pieces on the offensive side of the ball with Sam Laporta, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jahmyr Gibbs. And, you know, they had David Montgomery. They brought him in at free agency. He was outstanding last year. That offense has looked really, really good and is very dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, and they still have everybody. They just gave Amon-Ra St. Brown the bag too. We talked about it on a couple episodes, previously. So for me, I think it's, you know, good for Jared Goff for getting his bag. I just hope that he can continue to play at the level that he played at last year and continue to help this Detroit team going because, you know, as our listeners know, this is a Detroit Lions friendly podcast. We loved what they did last year. I was so bummed when they lost to San Francisco in the way, especially in the fashion that they did in the NFC title game. I was all aboard the Detroit Lions Super Bowl train. And do I think that they could have given Kansas City a better game? Probably not. I think that they were going to get cooked in that Super Bowl regardless if they made it there. But, you know, I'm excited to see what this offense can do in 2024 this year and forward with Jared Goff. And, you know, we'll see how the money affects them going forward. You know, these quarterbacks are signing these massive contracts nowadays. And it's like, it's unbelievable how much money they're making, especially the guarantees like Kirk Cousins' bag that he got. Now Jared Goff getting the bag from the Lions. It's like, where's all the money going? Like, how are you going to surround these guys with, you know, pieces? And they're able to do it because the cap is crap. You can manipulate the cap in many different ways, as Bill Belichick was famously quoted saying. So,
yeah,
I want to get your take on this. Like, obviously, being here in New England, we're used to seeing the quarterback take less to put people around him. Brady was always a guy that was never the highest paid in the league, despite being at the top of the, you know, the league for as long as he was. Now you're seeing guys like Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Jared Goff, all these guys are getting paid. And it seems like it's a year in, year out thing where they get, you know, they basically restructure, take a signing bonus and defer cap again. They basically just keep pushing it down the road. But I want to get your take on what these massive contracts mean for team building.
The way that I look at it is obviously first and foremost, it's just the way that the league is going, because I think you're seeing that huge dramatic shift in quarterback play from what years past have been, where you had your guaranteed guys that were the elite. You had that elite quarterback play with your Brady's, your Mannings, your Rodgers, your Breeze, your I'll throw in Philip Rivers there. Like, just Rothberg, you had guys consistent that were, if you had them, you had a chance to win the Super Bowl. It's just the easiest way to say it. We're now in a league where there's no Brady. There's no, I mean, Rodgers is probably the last of that echelon from the past, right? And he's at the point where everybody thought after he tore his Achilles last year that he might not be coming back. We're at a point now where teams are going to throw that money at a guy that shows an inkling of ability, because they don't know when the next guy's going to come. I mean, all I have to do is look at the Cleveland Browns, right? You look at their quarterback list from when look at their list from when Brady took over in 2001 to like last year, they've had at least 25 different quarterbacks play for them, right?
The famous jersey and, where the names just keep getting added to
number two. Yeah, remember? It's just like a couch. I'm not going to go through it because it would take me an hour just to figure it out. But anyway, like that's, I think that's my point where they're throwing the money at them that they are. And I mean, look at the deal they gave Deshaun Watson when the dude didn't play for a year and had all the legal troubles he did. Mm-hmm. They paid out the ass for him. And what's he done since he's gotten there? Like, he didn't even look that. They had Joe fucking Flacco get them to the playoffs.
I know.
And you're paying Watson a bazillion times more than whatever you're paying Flacco, who was sitting on the fucking couch 2 weeks before they called him up. Mm-hmm. So I just, I look at it as, like I said, it's partly their teams are terrified and they want to pay the guys and keep them around that are going to give them a chance. At the same time, I wonder if we're seeing a shift in the mentality for players as well, because guys seem so worried about getting themselves paid, which I can't blame them for, because in this day and age where you get injured a specific way, your career's over. And I mean, especially right. the whole, we've had this in previous episodes, we had the big debate about the running backs, you know, where they, do they deserve to get paid? You can make the argument both ways, but then you look at the quarterbacks, they're the obviously most important part of the team. I'll be the first to say that because they're the field general. But if you're trying to win a Super Bowl, do you want to make an extra $10 million that can't afford you a above average to superstar receiver because you wanted a paycheck and now you're going to miss out? Like, I just hypothetically, we're talking about Jared Goff, right? Let's say he had an A.J. Brown type player on the field against the 49ers. But now that he's got this contract the way he does, with obviously St. Brown and Penny getting locked up the way they are, what if that prevents them from signing Laporta down the road, or signing Gibbs back down the road if he's going to be an integral part of that offense? Or, like I said, get the potential of getting that big superstar. Imagine, just hypothetically, let's just say Justin Jefferson's like, you know what, I want to go play for Detroit, but you guys owe me big bucks. And now Detroit's sitting there going, well, we can't afford you. Like, that sucks, right? So I see both sides of it. And it's just interesting to see our perspective where, like you said, us being New England guys, we saw Brady, it seemed like, take a pay cut every year to bring in guys to give us a better chance.
Right.
And sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't. I just think that we're at the point now with this league where people are going to overpay for average to potentially below average, because if you, like I said, I'm beating a dead horse here, but if you show an inkling of ability, you're going to get overpaid because you just don't know what's coming out. You don't know what's going to be the next guy.
And, you know, for me, I think a lot of it comes to the fact that, you know, for the last, you know, from 2000 to like 2018, 19, whatever, it was four guys that were the elite of the elite. Yep. You had Brady, you had Manning, you had Rodgers, you had Roethlisberger and Flacco. Those guys were all there. And they, you know, what was it, for 17 straight years or something like that? It was either Brady, Manning, or Flacco or Roethlisberger representing the AFC in the Super Bowl. It was like, I forget the exact amount of years, but it was over a decade. And I feel like now that the way the game has changed and the talent that's coming out of college, the elite of the elite and the middle tier, the gap is closed. And, you know, obviously, like right now, Mahomes is the guy. He's the guy that wins. He's on the best team in the sense. So he sits at the top of that list. But down below, you can make arguments for number two. You can argue it. Like, for the longest time, it was Brady, Manning.
Yep.
There was no question. Nobody couldn't even debate it. But now you have Josh Allen. You have Joe Burrow. You have CJ Stroud as a rookie coming out. You have Aaron Rodgers still there. And I'm sure I'm missing guys. Lamar. That's a big one I'm missing. Lamar Jackson. Justin Herbert. You have these guys that are much closer to the top than maybe the guys were 10, 15 years ago. And I think that plays a part as to why these guys are getting the bag, because once you get that guy in that top, say 10 to 15, you're going to have a chance to to do something, to make some noise and win a game in January. So that's, I think, it. That's that plays a big part into it. And, you know, again, the salary cap's going up too. The NFL's continuing to grow, so the salary cap continues to go up. That plays a part as to why these guys are getting paid as much as they are, and why teams are able to manipulate it in so many ways to where they can just keep deferring it down the road to when their window's closed, and then they'll eat it then for a year or two. So for me, that's why I think that these guys are getting as much money as they are. I mean, Kirk Cousins was the guy, and when he signed in Minnesota, I think it was the first fully guaranteed contract that was ever handed out, and it was for like 3 years.
Yep.
And it was a substantial amount of money for the time that he signed the contract. And now you're seeing these guys getting closer and closer to fully guaranteed contracts. And, you know, in the case of Deshaun Watson, he got it. And
it doesn't deserve it. Deserve it. That's what gets me.
Totally agree with you 100%.
And so stupid.
The owners are happy to pay for the what they expect to be elite talent. And you know, being in New England, we're not used to the team throwing the money around like that. And I don't know if we, you know, under the Crafts, if we'll ever see that come into the play up here. But mediocre talent is getting paid now. Like, Kirk Cousins got paid the way he did because he signed in free agent. He was the best free agent quarterback, and Atlanta was a team that was desperate for a quarterback.
Yeah, I guess a part of me, too, has to take a step back and realize, though, that we keep saying mediocre talent, and we have to stop and think that they might not be mediocre talent. Because, like you said, it's Mahomes at the top there, and then the argument can be made after that, just to be anybody else could be two through whatever. So it's really, maybe you have to pay that.
I'm not sitting here saying that I expect Jared Goff or Kirk Cousins to eclipse that number two spot. Like, I don't, they're not at that level. So that's, they're closer to the top than they were, than guys in their position were 10, 15 years ago, but I'm still not sitting there calling them among the league's best.
Like, I guess my point is I'm trying to say, I see why Cousins got paid the way he did, because he's considered above average in this NFL now, as opposed to 5 years ago, where I look at Jared Goff, he has the potential to be top five in this NFL, as opposed to 5 years ago where he was, I wouldn't even put him in the top half of the NFL. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's both sides. We have to see both sides of it. But I guess it just makes me laugh, because I always think back to, it was 2000 and I want to say 3 and 4 back. I don't know. Some of my Patriot diehard fans out there will remember big old Teddy Washington. You remember him?
Oh, I love Teddy Washington.
Yeah. So he played nose tackle for us for 2003. He signed that 1 year deal with us, got himself a ring, and going into the offseason to 2004, there was a lot of talk about retaining him because we hadn't drafted Vince Wilfork yet. And I remember, this is one of my favorite stories to tell, even though it breaks my heart, that he ended up signing with the Oakland Raiders that offseason. Shout out YZ. A Raiders fan out there. Love you, buddy. Washington ended up going to the Raiders. And I remember he was interviewed as he was, you know, essentially packing his bags. And they were like, why wouldn't you want to stay in New England to have a chance at another ring? And he goes, look, he goes, I'll tell you straight up. I wanted a ring. I got a ring. I wanted to stay in New England for another chance at another ring. He goes, Oakland was going to pay me to not have to worry about feeding my kids the rest of my life. I'm going to Oakland. I'm chasing that money. And I just sat there and I went, you know what? All the respect in the world to you, buddy, because it's like, you got your ring. Go take care of yourself now. Like, you deserve that. Where you see so many of these athletes now that are just like, they don't tell the truth anymore. They're so full of shit when it's just like, oh yeah, like, I'm taking the team friendly deal, where it's like, you're earning $100 million guaranteed. You're not taking a team friendly deal. Shut the fuck up. Where it's just like, well, or you see like your Kevin Durant's with like the ring chasing bullshit and all that stuff. I don't know. There's so many, I constantly have to remind myself that it's not the NFL or sports in general. I should say sports in general have changed so much in just the 20 plus years that I've been super invested in everything. And it's like, I don't know. I guarantee you that the Jared Goff deal probably won't be the biggest shocking deal that we're going to see over the next, I would say, probably 3 or 4 years anyway.
Absolutely not.
It's a start. Absolutely. It's a start. So,
yeah. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, we'll see if it comes back to bite Detroit. If Jared Goff takes a step back this year, it could be a problem for them. You know, their window could close a lot quicker than, you know, they kind of hedging their bets with Jared Goff. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But I want to move on. Our fun segment is back. The BTP Goats, I'm bringing it back.
Let's go.
And we have a fun one this week. We have one that we're going to change it up a little bit. We're going to go away from talking about the league in general when we're talking about these lists and these rankings. We're going to go a little bit of pop culture and tie it into the BTP Goats here. So this week's topic for our BTP Goats segment is top five football movies or TV shows. And there have been a lot of good ones released. As long as I've been alive, they've been some fantastic, fantastic football movies. I love turning them on when I have a free second. I want to just get right into it. We'll start off. We'll do Hogan and I will give you our top five. Then we'll give you our honorable mentions. And then we have some listener contributions, as well as our good friend Manish Mehta, our fun guest that we have had on this podcast a few times, also provided a list for us to read on the podcast as well. So, Hogan, I'm going to go to you for your number five on this list for BTP Goats. What do you got?
Oh, number five. Well, if you guys out there, I don't know if I can do the voice as well as he can, but my mama said, I got the Water Boy at number five for my football list. That's what I got right now. I love the Water Boy. I mean, that's classic Adam Sandler at probably his peak, his mm-hmm. funniest, just everything. And then Kathy Bates as the devil hating mama. And then, oh my God, you got Henry Winkler as the coach. You got, that just is a star studded movie that never gets old with how many times I'll sit there and watch it. And I know a lot of people out there, when we were pulling some of our friends and family for our top five list, I think there's a whole bunch of Water Boys on there, but goddamn, I love me some Water Boy. And Captain Insano opening a can of whoop ass on him. That was just, it'll never get old. And I know I speak for my wife. She loves Adam Sandler with all her heart. And I think she forces me to watch that movie at least once a month. So I'll never get tired of it, though. That's the best part. So yeah, that's me. Number five, I got the Water Boy. Water sucks. H2O. That's
Gatorade. Gatorade.
Water sucks. Let's go. All right, what do you got, Burge? What's number five for you?
I got to throw the one last Water Boy quote. It's me, Roberto, your daddy. We could be like Tiger Woods and his daddy.
Oh, actually, well, since we're Patriots fans, we can throw out the other quote that's from that one. Oh, no, we suck again. That one. That's one I posted a whole lot ever since Brady's left town. So, all right, moving on. What do we got for number five?
Unbelievable comedy movie for you, Hogan. I love the choice. Number five, I have We Are Marshall with Matthew McConaughey. I love movies that are based on true stories. And, you know, I don't love the fact that this one needed to be made. You know, it's about the Marshall plane crash. I believe it was in 1970 that occurred. Basically the entire team, the coaching staff, perished on the way home from an away game. And the way they told the story there for that was unbelievable for me. I'm an aviation guy, as I've talked about here. So obviously that has an impact on my life, you know, seeing the story about the plane crash and tying it into one of my favorite sports. I thought the movie was incredibly well done. The acting in it, you know, was incredible. You know, Anthony Mackie playing Nate Ruffin in that movie, I thought he did an outstanding job. And it really brought out the human aspect of what that did to not only the families that were involved, but the entire university and sports world in that aspect. And the amount of work it took for that coaching staff to rebuild that program and to kind of get it back on its feet while an entire community was grieving. It's just an incredible story for me. And you know, it was just something for me that really kind of hit home, you know, again, with my aviation ties and all that. So We Are Marshall is my number five movie. Hogan, I want to get your fourth one next.
Yeah, well, you had to get all fucking somber on me. I went for comedy. At least I was trying to be all like hyper and energetic and getting this list started off right. But I don't disagree with you. We Are Marshall is a phenomenal movie. But going to number four, I'm going to keep the comedy going because that's me. I'm just fun loving. I gotta love everything and be hyped all the time. We got not a movie. We got a TV show, Blue Mountain State, BMS. Old school Spike TV network, the man's channel, whatever the hell they called it back in the day. That show was like an absolute pinnacle when I was in college with the boys. Just we always had to sit down and watch the newest episode of Blue Mountain State. And I think it probably went on like a season or two longer than it should have. And then they came out with that ridiculous movie with like Thad coming back from getting kicked out of the NFL or whatever. I honestly don't even remember half the shit anymore. I just remember nonstop laughing and how ridiculous that show was, and it just was the prototypical stereotype what college football was supposed to be with all that crap. I don't know. I had a blast with it. I wish there was more, I want to say, series like that they could take more fun ideas and poke fun at football with that kind of idea. Like, it's just I kind of look at like Hard Knocks, right? And it's like you see the series side, you see the documentary side of it and stuff, but it's like Blue Mountain State just like turned that all on its head to just make it as funny as possible in a college setting, to make it as ridiculous as possible with the players and partying and all this shit with that. But yep, that's what I got. Blue Mountain State, just more comedy. I'm a fun loving guy. Like I said, I got to keep the fun times going. So that's what I got at number four. I think I have an inkling that you might have a comedy at your number four spot there, Burge. What are we feeling for number four?
I do. But real quick, I want to shout out Chris Romano, the creator of Blue Mountain State.
That's right.
Graduate of National High South, baby.
The mascot, right?
Yep.
That's right. Yeah.
Show creator from my hometown, our hometown. So that's a pretty unique local tie-in right there.
That's awesome.
Number four, I have The Replacements. And
let's go.
This is a movie that I didn't see until I want to say I was in college or out of college. It was one it had been out for a while and I had seen like maybe clips of it. But when I finally sat down and just watched it from beginning to end, I fell in love with this movie. It's loosely based on the NFL strike that occurred in the 80s, very, very loosely, where they, you know, had to come in with replacement players, as hence the name. I thought that the cast of this movie was outstanding. Obviously, Keanu Reeves playing the quarterback, Gene Hackman as a coach. It was one of his last film roles. It was not, he didn't really act much after that, after this movie. He was great as the head coach. You had John Favreau as the crazy linebacker and just an absolute comedy. These guys from all walks of life, criminals, everything, just come in and start playing football. And the football aspect of it was great. I loved watching the games and everything in the, but the side stories, the jokes, and I was cracking up watching this movie. And it's on my list for a reason, because I thoroughly enjoyed watching this one. The acting was outstanding. If I recall correctly, John Madden makes appearances in this, doesn't he?
John Madden and Pat Summerall. They both, classic. When they were doing that, I think it was for ABC. I think they were still with ABC at the time when they did that.
The classic NFL announcing duo. It was just incredibly well done. And for me, it's right there on my list for top NFL movies. I'm going to move on to my number three one now. I have Remember the Titans at number three. The story that this movie brings to light is outstanding. The first integrated football team, high school football team in the country, I believe it was, or one of the more prevalent ones. And Denzel Washington did an unbelievable job acting as Herman Boone in this movie. And it's more than just football when you watch this. You're watching a group of kids that were from different walks of life being put into the same school for the first time. And I just thought that the way that the team came together, it's such an inspiration, the way that this team came together. And seeing them win it, and then obviously you had the Gary Bertier's accident play out, and seeing how, again, people from different walks of life at that time period in our country and seeing them come together was just unbelievable. And I know it's a movie, it was Disney, so a lot of it was I don't want to say fabricated, but it was built up.
Yeah.
But I thought that the story and the acting to tell the important story that needed to be told in this country was unbelievably well done. And I could watch that movie all day long. And, you know, you see Sunshine out there throwing the ball. You get the mama jokes coming out.
Sunshine.
You get the mama jokes, all that. And it was just, it's great because, you know, they're portraying high school kids, and it's kind of how you expect high school kids to act as athletes and playing a sport that they love. And it was, again, I don't want to beat the dead horse, but the way that they came together, it's just an inspirational story that again, anytime it's on TV, I'll turn it on. Who you got?
Oh, well, funny you say Remember the Titans, because that's exactly who I got at number three. It seems we actually agree on something for once here. I know, it's a miracle, right? Yeah, I'm not going to rehash anything you said. I just know, like I said, Remember the Titans was an absolute phenomenal movie. It's definitely a movie I feel like the entire country needs to sit down and watch like once a year to be like, hey, this is the way that we should like actually figure shit out rather than just hating each other and doing all the crap that we do now. And then I'm trying to remember, do you remember the big boy's name in the movie? You know who I'm talking about?
The lineman,
of course, because my fatties, we got to stick together. But like, I got to say, the one thing that like not a lot of people remember about him is he was so excited.
Louis Lastic.
He was so excited to pass so he could have a chance to go to college. I remember that being like one of those like parts of the movie that like, yeah, granted, everybody remembers Bertier. Everybody remembers Denzel Washington, all the guys that, you know, were the stars, really. But like everybody forgets about Louis just like being that supposed to be that fat, dumb hick that they portray him to be. And then to him to get like what he got, like a C- or something. And he started crying because he was so happy at that moment was like, that's the kind of shit that you sit there and you're like, that's so awesome. Like, because I mean, like, it's, you don't think about that kind of stuff with kids coming up these days where, I mean, not granted, you're the father here. You're going to be thinking about that in years to come. But it's just, that's that proud moment where everybody can sit there and be like, I want that for either my kids or for whatever, like somebody that you know, just to be, have that moment of elation to be like, yeah, you're not going to go play college football and be a D1 athlete, but you have a chance to better your life by going to college or doing what you got to do. And that's one thing that I always take away from Remember the Titans. So great movie. We both got it at number three. I'm going to keep the train rolling. I'm going to go right into my number two pick there. I got Friday Night Lights, the movie. Very, very specifically, the movie. This movie came out, I want to say, right in the time we were in high school. Mm-hmm. And being a Panther in high school, I was all about the Panthers in the movie because that's what they were, the Permian Panthers, Odessa Permian. I was all about that. And I remember the Titans being that movie that taught me one of the greatest lessons that I think I still hold true to me to this day, is that you don't have to win to be a champion. And I think that's like a big message that a lot of people might miss from that movie potentially, but the end there, not to spoil. Well, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the movie, they don't win the state championship at the end. It's just, they come up a yard short. But that's kind of spoke a lot of measures to me because like when I was a younger kid in high school watching that, it was like, okay, they did the best that they could and they still came up short, but they still were phenomenal people with what they were able to accomplish, even though they failed at the end there, you know? And like I said, there's a lot of times where people fall down, get kicked down or whatever. And it's like, you got to pick yourself back up. That movie did a great job of just spreading that message where, yeah, you can come from a shit situation. You can do the best that you can do and it's not going to work out. But like at the end of the day, if you do everything in your power to be the best that you can be, what was the line? Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. That's it right there. You know, so do the best that you can. And whether you succeed or not, it's going to be okay. And you're going to be a fucking champion. That's what I love about Friday Night Lights, the movie. That's the one thing I took away from that.
Absolutely. It was a fantastic movie. My number two is a little bit different, though. I have Any Given Sunday at my number two football movie of all time. And right from the beginning of this movie, the intro scene with Dennis Quaid playing quarterback, he gets dinged up, gets hurt, gets carted off the field. You got a backup coming in. He gets hurt the next play. And then lo and behold, here comes Jamie Foxx and Willie Beeman comes in, and the music playing when he's out there for the first time, dude, just, I was ready to run through a wall. I absolutely love the intro to that movie. The cast of this movie, unreal. Dennis Quaid, LL Cool J. You got former football players, Jim Brown as a coach. You've got Lawrence Taylor playing a linebacker. Cameron Diaz is in it as well. You get, up and down the list, you got outstanding cast. And Al Pacino is the head coach. How did I forget to mention him off the top?
I was going to say, come on. He might have the greatest speech of all time in that movie, by the way.
Absolutely. And that's another
inch by fucking inch. I'll never forget that line.
That speech is another one where it's like, you're getting ready to go out to battle. You're going to battle in whatever you're doing, and you put that on, you're going to be motivated as hell to get it done. And to just ready to run through a wall. And you know, you had that, you had the whole aspect, the party aspect of professional sports shown in this movie. I think that was a masterpiece by, I believe the director was Oliver Stone, was the director of this movie. And it's, again, it shows a young athlete come into his own and figure out, hey, it's not about me, it's about the team at the end. And he puts the team on his back. And again, action-packed. Another movie that's on, I'll throw it on because it's one that I've seen probably 50 times at this point, and I'll always watch it. It's an absolutely incredible movie when it comes to football. And the cast itself, like you got Shark, Lawrence Taylor out there. He wants to make $1 million. He goes out there, makes a tackle, concusses himself, like almost dies. Like, shows the realism when it comes to what these guys are playing for.
Yep.
You know, to feed their families, to support a certain lifestyle, and what they're risking when they're doing that. And I thought it was, you know, displayed masterfully. So Any Given Sunday is who I got it at number two. Hogan, I want to go to you for number one before I give mine. So Hogan, who you got at number one?
Your number greatest one. Oh, my greatest. And it's, you know, it's interesting because I'm glad this is an opinionated list, because I don't want to get dragged over the coals for this, because this is my number one football movie. You already talked about it. I'm going with The Replacements, just because for me personally, The Replacements is everything that I want football to embody, where it's the great underdog story of guys that aren't supposed to be there in the first place. They come together, they do what they do. Again, they don't become champions, they get to the playoffs, which is okay, great. Like, at the end of the day, they all lost their jobs at the end of the season. Like, they were the underdogs, nobody expected them to do anything. You went over like the cast there already with the guys that were in it. But I just loved how you saw all different aspects of the players on the field, where it wasn't just the quarterback. It wasn't just the running back. It wasn't just the prima donna wide receiver. It was the lineman. You saw the sumo wrestler lineman chugging eggs before the game, throwing up on the field. Like, some of that shit is the funniest stuff I've seen on screen for football, like comedy. Like, granted, like I said, Blue Mountain State was funny, but like The Replacements was really like, seeing them shuffle their huddle because of the throw up, because they all started puking in the huddle because it's like, oh, I see puke, I'm going to puke. I jacked off an elephant. Like, there's so many things that you can quote in that movie that just are still phenomenal to this day. And like I said, just for me, it's comfort food. You know, like anytime if I got the TV on and The Replacements are on and I got nothing going on, I'm going to sit there and watch The Replacements. And you know, that banging soundtrack with Orlando Bloom in the prison cell singing, at first I was afraid, I was petrified. You can't not sing along to that movie. It is just so good with all them singing and dancing in the prison cell, Gene Hackman coming in there screaming at him. I just, for me, I can't find a better movie than The Replacements for me personally. And like I said, I know there are people out there who are going to be like, you're a clown, there's no way that's the number one movie. It's for me. That's my number one movie. I'm going to stick with it. I got The Replacements number one.
I too am glad it's an opinionated list, because we were talking before we started recording that you're going to drag me for my number one choice here. But this is mine. My number one greatest football show or movie is Friday Night Lights, the TV show.
Sorry.
Hate on it all you want. Hate on it all you want. I've watched that series so many times. And every time I put it on and I start in the first episode, I end up watching the whole thing. It kind of tailored off at the end when stuff changed. But the first three seasons specifically, when the Dillon Panthers are playing with the more so the original cast, I eat that shit up. I love it. And it kind of shows, it gives you a little bit, maybe a little bit unrealistic, but a little bit of an eye as to what high school football means to the South, especially in Texas. You know, we're up here in New England. It's not nearly as big as it is down in the South. And to me, like these high school kids being treated like, you know, gods. They're treated like gods. They get away with so much. They can walk into a store and buy beer. They can, you know, they can do all of this stuff. And it's eye opening. And then, you know, one of my favorite characters of all time is Coach Eric Taylor. I love his character, the way that Kyle Chandler portrays that coach. Kyle Chandler is also a Boston guy too, which is kind of funny to, you know, see him act as a Texas high school coach. But you get a lot of the, obviously you get the football, you get the try, you know, the hard times, the good times that they have. Clear Eyes, Full Hearts, Can't Lose is also displayed in there because it's loosely based on the story that the movie was based on as well, the same team out of Odessa. And, you know, you're seeing the tolls that the environment that they've created in that, with where these athletes are created like gods, and the tolls it takes on their personal lives, and, you know, outside of football. Like, you know, you got Coach Eric Taylor and his wife, Tammy, having to host a football party for all these people, and they have to go out, they have to buy all these steaks, they have to provide all the food, and they have to impress the boosters, and the whole town revolves around the Dillon Panthers high school football team. And all of the side stories, you can call it drama all you want, but the side stories with the quarterback, Matt Saracen, Jason Street, you know, Smash Williams, all the stuff that they go through, the legal battles, you know, they talk about social issues in it as well. And for me, it's just an incredible watch. And I wish that they had kind of continued that after the third season, where it kind of changed. I think it changed like companies producing it, and that where it kind of the fourth and the fifth season, I don't, you know, I obviously enjoy it, but it's not the same as the first three. The first three to me were one of my favorite TV shows of all time, not just football, of all time. And I just get so into it every time that I watch it. Tim Riggins, you know, you get his whole story with his dad walking out on him. It's just, it's incredible to see what these kids are going through. And you can't help but wonder if there's any truth to this type of atmosphere down in like high school football in Alabama and Mississippi and Texas. And I'm sure that there is. It's probably not a carbon copy, but there's definitely some truth as to how these players are treated in high school. And it's kind of eye-opening when you think about it. So for me, that one hits really, it just hits me. I know I'll probably get dragged for it. You've already started to do it with the whole so like, but again, nothing tops that for me. And one of my favorite TV shows ever, you know, it's up there, you know, Game of Thrones, you put it all up there with the other TV shows, it's right up there at the top for me. So number one for me is Friday Night Lights, the TV series.
I just, for me personally, I watched the first season, and I guess because I was so invested in football back in the day when that show first came out, I was just like, there, it felt like there wasn't enough football for me in the movie, which, or the show, which is ironic because, like I said, I had Blue Mountain State on my list because there was like barely any football in that. But I mean, I don't know. I was in high school. I was pigheaded with my opinion then. Maybe I'll have to give it another chance and try and go back and watch it again since it's so high on your list there. But
I never watched it until I was out of college. I was out of college. Oh, really? When I actually watched it. Yep.
Oh, no shit. Yeah. I remember it came out. I think the first season came out when we were like seniors in high school. Yep. When I think, yep, it came out. And I remember watching it being like, this is going to be awesome, because I was so hyped up from the movie. And then it was like right away, the first like episode was just like, Timmy's not going to go to the prom with me. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? Like, this isn't football. Like, what the hell is this crap? And I forced myself to watch the rest of the season. I was like, nope, I'm done with that crap. But like I said, I'll give it a fair chance again. Maybe we'll have to go back to it. But speaking of fair chances, we got to go over some of our honorable mentions that didn't make our top five lists here. And I'm just going to run through quickly mine. I'll give a little tidbit about each one, then I'll pass it over to you. I got the longest yard. Again, we're going with the comedies again. Adam Sandler with an all-star crew just doing the whole prison yard football game against the prisoners versus the guards. A classic movie. Absolutely hysterical. All the former NFL players they got in there. Michael Irvin had a doing his tidbit. And anyway, I think Nelly was a running back. I mean, that movie was just ridiculous from beginning to end. It's always a fun watch. So we got Longest Yard. And then one that might surprise some people, I have Gridiron Gang in there, which actually is a The Rock, kind of before he became the stigma of what The Rock is now, where he plays the same character in every movie. He plays a really, really inspiring coach in that movie about a bunch of kids that are kind of like in a juvenile hall kind of system where, you know, they're pretty much prisoners that get released to play football and learn how to, you know, integrate themselves with society through the lessons and stuff that they learned through football. And I won't go too much into that. It's just it's a really, really good watch. Oh, go ahead.
You got I'll something. Be honest. I forgot about that movie.
Right.
And that is that I remember watching it. And that is an outstanding movie. So I'm glad that you brought that one up. That's a
it is. Fantastic yeah. choice. I feel like a lot of people forget about that. If you're talking about lists in terms of, especially where, like you said, you bring up The Rock, Dwayne, The Rock Johnson. It's like you immediately think of like, oh, he's playing, you know, macho headed jacked guy that just does the same thing. Like, oh, pick things up and put them down. But he actually plays a really, really good role in that movie. Mm-hmm. And when he gets trucked by the kid in that movie, it's fucking awesome. That's one of my favorite scenes. But then going off of Gridiron Gang, I got two more and I'll wrap this up. I got Invincible, Disney movie, Mark Wahlberg, the average Joe making a professional team, being a school teacher or something that tries out for the team, makes it. That was an incredible movie, just the ups and downs of that. And then the last one that I really want to talk about, because again, I always go back to me being the historian, is the Express. It's kind of not, I don't want to say it's like a biopic. It's more of like a loosely based tale of Ernie Davis from Syracuse winning the Heisman as the first African-American to win the Heisman. And I remember watching that movie where Dennis Quaid actually, I believe, played his coach in that movie as well. And just the background of, you want to talk about how somebody went through the ups and downs of everything, where he got treated the way he did when they played my boys, the University of Texas, back in the day, where they were not kind to them. So, but just Ernie Davis, that was, and especially the heartbreaking story of how that ended with him passing away after he got drafted by Cleveland Browns, where they had a chance to, you know, have him and Jim Brown in the same backfield. I can only imagine if those two had an actual chance to play together. But that movie was absolutely phenomenal. Go check it out whenever you get a chance, because it'll break your heart, but it'll inspire you at the same time. So that's my honorable mention list. Burgess, tell me who you got.
I gotta be honest, I've never seen The Express, so that sounds like one I'm gonna have to check out. So again, good, some solid honorable mentions there.
Yep.
For me, I have The Waterboy, so I'm not going to talk any more about that.
Let's go.
We've already talked about it. I have Jerry Maguire, Show Me the Money, Tom Cruise, Cuba Gooding Jr. in that movie. That's another good one for me. It's kind of a nostalgic movie because it's an older one. My third one, I have Varsity Blues.
Ooh,
Varsity Blues. And I got to admit, when I was making my list, it's another movie that I've seen a million times that I forgot about. Probably would have made it a little bit higher. But full disclosure, I remembered about it while we were recording here tonight.
Nice, nice.
But, you know, Billy Bob, you know, all that. Great cast. James Vanderbeek, Paul Walker, rest in peace. You know, John Voight as the head coach. Again, yep. another depiction of high school football in Texas, where the players are treated like gods. And it's not all, you know, stars and stripes, you know, down there when that happens. They're dealing with a whole bunch of other stuff outside of football. So again, it's one that I absolutely love. So those are the three that I have as my honorable mention lists.
All right.
Well, do we want to get into the listeners first, or
before we do, I have a guest appearance from somebody in person that wants to come over here and share their top five lists with our listeners right now. So Give me a second, Burge. If you want to introduce her, I don't need to. I'm going to hand off the headphones and the microphone to a certain somebody that wants to share their list to us.
I got to be honest with you. I have no idea what to expect with this list, but we have the lovely Mrs. Hogan joining us. Ashley, how are you?
Good.
I am looking forward to hearing your list.
When Nick said he was doing this, I was like, oh, I want in, because I usually watch a few of them a few times a year, and I'm not like a huge football guru or anything, but it's just like, I don't know, it hits home. I think it's the stories, if it's like blending ethnic groups together, or if it's just learning some other life lessons. It's, I don't know, I love them.
You're speaking my list right there, and I just got chirped for having those as my top five list here. So if we're gonna agree, I'm gonna love it.
Okay, so should I go from my top or
from
my
five to one?
Okay, so I love Adam Sandler. So Waterboy is number five. Then I would go with We Are Marshall. That one made me cry like the entire time. Then I would go with The Longest Yard. Again, diehard Adam Sandler fan. And I love Nelly. And then I would say number two would be The Blind Side. I love Sandra Bullock. Yep. And number one, my all-time favorite, is Remember the Titans.
Love it. I love that you picked We Are Marshall, because I had that one too, and yeah, Nick did not. So I love that.
Yeah, that one made me cry like the whole time.
It's a very well done movie.
Yeah, for sure. And then I would say the one I didn't put on there, because I'm a diehard Chad Michael Murray fan, would be The Cinderella Story with Hilary Duff.
Oh. Chad Michael Murray.
All right, you're done. You're done.
We had a fantastic list.
That's all
that
I needed to hear. We're done with this.
But well, yeah, that's it.
Thank you for providing that for us here. I'm sure our listeners will love the Cinderella. Was it Cinderella Story? I'm sure they're gonna love that. Love that pick right there.
Of course.
Thank you.
Yeah. Bye, guys.
Thank you. While they're switching out their seats, I'm gonna start going through our listener contributions here. I'm going to start off with my boy Tommy Bennett, great friend of the show. We're going to get him in here at number five. He also had The Waterboy, so that's three number fives for Waterboy. We had The Longest Yard. We had one movie on his list that did not make any of ours. Might be a little contribution, but that's Rudy.
Rudy. No, that doesn't deserve to be on any list. Sorry, Tommy. I'm going to just say that right now. Screw Rudy. Overrated.
We had Friday Night Lights, the movie, at number two.
Back on track.
And Remember the Titans at number one. So that's Tommy's top five list. Thank you, Tommy. We appreciate you, and continue to interact with us with these, because we're going to have some more fun ones coming down the pipe here this summer. Before I turn it back over to Nick for some of his listener contributions, I'm going to read out our boy Manish Mehta's list here. He had a tie at number five, so he cheated a little bit. Friday Night Lights, the movie, and School Ties. I've never heard of School Ties. I haven't even looked it up, I got to be honest with you. So I'm going to have to look that up when we get done with the episode here. Another guy that has We Are Marshall on the list. Love it. Remember the Titans at number three for Manish. Number two, Jerry Maguire. And number one, another movie that we didn't talk about. I don't know if I've actually ever seen it. Radio. And I know the story, the premise behind it. But I've heard that that is an outstanding movie.
I've seen it. Yeah, it's interesting. It is mostly football, but it's more about the story of the person, Radio, and the relationship he has with the football coach. And I want to say, I think the coach, I'm trying to remember if the football coach coached both football and basketball in that movie, but Radio was involved with both of them, and it was the development of a special needs person and his relationship with the community and how he was looked at before, and then what he became and how he was accepted and brought into the football and basketball communities. And it's actually a very, very good movie. So definitely a watch.
Awesome. You got some over there as well?
I do. I got a couple from first and foremost, I'll go with I already dropped his name earlier, YZ, our Raider Nation representing up in here for Breaking the Plane. he sent me his list. And number five, we got the Water Boy, obviously. And I love it. He sent me his list and he gave little tidbits after the movie. So I got number five. He said the Water Boy. He goes, Captain Insano shows no mercy. Number four, he's got, we haven't mentioned this one. This is a new one for the list. Little Giants.
Oh.
Little Giants. A childhood classic is what YZ's calling it. Number three, he's got Blue Mountain State, which he says, too good not to include, would be higher if there was more actual football. Absolutely hilarious. YZ, I agree with you 10,000%. Number two, he's got Longest Yard, raw star power, some great football, comedy, what's not to love. And then at number one, he's got Remember the Titans, an absolute classic. And he actually threw, he wanted me to throw in his honorable mentions list, a TV show that I'm super mad I forgot about on my list, The League. The League. I completely forgot. That's fantasy football with all the guys they bring on that show. I still remember that episode where Antonio Gates was in the hot tub and knocked out. Was it Ruxin or whatever the hell his name was? I remember that being so funny at the time. Where you're just talking smack to him.
It epitomized my life in fantasy football.
Oh, it epitomized my life all of us. All of us with the fantasy football. So how could we forget The League? I'm glad YZ, you
shout out YZ for that. Unbelievable pick.
He also has All American in there, and then he has the replacements for his honorable mention list. YZ, you are the man. Thank you for your contribution to our BTP GOATS list. And then last one that I want to touch on really quickly is my boy Tommy Brognano, representing Dallas Nation. It's not your year, but that's okay. We still love you. He's got number five. He's got Any Given Sunday. Number four, he's got Friday Night Lights. He didn't say which one. I'm going to assume the movie. I hope so. And number three, he's got Little Giants. Number two, he's got The Water Boy. So Water Boy's high on his list.
Yeah.
And then number one, Remember the Titans. So that's what we got. Actually, give me 2 seconds. I want to say that I think his wife might have sent me one. I apologize, the Brognanos. Emily, I have your list. I didn't forget about you. I'm going to throw it in here. So she's actually got one on here that I didn't think of that we could have included with this list. Was she did it one of those 30s for 30s. So she picked the Four Falls of Buffalo as her number five.
That's number one, baby.
And I knew as soon as I saw it, I was like, Burgess is going to eat that one.
Love up it.
He fucking hates Buffalo. Let's go. So she's got that at number five. Number four, she's got Jerry Maguire. Number three, she's got Killer Inside. It says TV. Is that the Aaron Hernandez one?
It might be, yes, but gotta be. It might be a documentary about it, yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna be fully transparent with our listeners right now. I did not watch any Aaron Hernandez stuff because it was like I lived it. I didn't want to hear about it again. Mm-hmm. So that's just me personally. Number two, she's got Friday Night Lights, the TV show. So she's got that up there with you.
I like her.
And then another number one, Remember the Titans. Yeah. So that was fun to do. I'm just going to say it right now. I feel like a consensus, if we go across all the polls and everything, I feel like Remember the Titans is probably the consensus number one for most people, most fans out there, which, you know what? End of the day, I had it high on my list. It's going to be on your top five list. Remember the Titans is a great, great movie. But the fun thing about doing these lists is you can have whatever the hell you want at number one. And that's what makes it so much fun to do these lists with you, buddy. I don't know. What else you got for us?
I just want to say this was the first BTP GOAT segment that we've done that has been kind of non-current event or non-actual NFL rankings. And it was probably one of the ones I had the most fun doing. So I would expect that when we bring this back again, whether it's next week or a couple of weeks or whatever, we're going to be diving into a little bit more non-NFL rankings. And I look forward to doing those because this one was an absolute blast. The movies are, you know, pieces of our childhood, pieces of our young adulthood that are, you know, you can be nostalgic with. And I'm a very, very nostalgic person. So love doing it. So this was an absolutely fun segment. You got anything else to add before we decide to plug the sucker up?
No, I just want to reiterate again that how good it was to have you back this week, buddy. I'm glad we're back on the same schedule. I'm glad that my wonderful wife could make a surprise guest appearance. I wasn't expecting that. She actually flagged me down while we were reading earlier. And she's like, you're going to give me the microphone because I'm reading my top five to everybody. And I'm like, okay, you know me, I can't be in the doghouse. So I got to make sure I do what the wife wants. So yeah, I was excited to have her on there. But no, I'm glad you're back, buddy. I'm glad we're going to keep this gravy train rolling. It was a blast to talk to you again this week. Looking forward to the future for bigger and better things. Let's keep it going.
All right. Be sure to catch us on the socials. Hit us up with any comments on the episode. We're happy to have them. We'll address them on the episodes. everybody, have yourselves a fantastic week. And go,
go Patriots.
Go Patriots. And better yet, more currently, go Bruins and go Celtics. When this drops, the Bruins might be eliminated from the playoffs. We'll see. But have a good week. Peace.
Later.